Saudi Arabia's border with Iraq runs more than 500 miles through the desert. There's evidence that private money, arms, and fighters have crossed that border to join the fight against U.S. forces next door. And many Saudis believe some militants have brought the fight back home, carrying out several suicide attacks and murdering Western workers in the kingdom. The U.S. administration has urged Saudi Arabia to democratize, create channels of dissent to marginalize Saudi militants. That appeared to be a winning argument a year ago, but Saudi Arabia's reforms have slowed. In the fourth part of a series on Iraq's Arab neighbors, NPR's Deborah Amos reports on Saudi Arabia's competing voices for change.
When the Muslim call to prayer settles over the city of Jeddah, Jamil Muhammad Farsi closes his shop, as does every merchant in the city. He and his staff say their prayers together, on a carpet rolled out on the floor. Afterwards, Farsi, a successful international businessman, shows a reporter a letter. He's turned down an appointment to a royal commission on poverty. Citing passages from the Quran, Farsi knows by heart. He writes, essentially, "Dear Prince, Saudi Arabia cannot tackle poverty as long as the royal family spends so much of the country's oil wealth on itself." Jamil Farsi believes reforms are long overdue. The country will be taking a small step next year, he says, if nationwide municipal elections are held as promised.
Yes, they have no other solution just to do that. This is the least thing they can do. It is the first step in a very long way.
Some reformers criticize high unemployment and corruption. This is Farsi's bottom line.
Freedom of talk, freedom of thinking, the public money to be very well controlled. And I believe every human being will ask for that.
But for asking publicly, 13 reformers were jailed in March. A more recent law makes it a crime for government employees to sign petitions or speak critically to the media.
Do you feel that you can criticize the government openly?
Definitely not. You know that I cannot.
The one place Saudis can still criticize the government is on the internet. That is where Khaled al-Ghanaimi wages his campaign for reform of a different kind, a more moderate, inclusive interpretation of Islam.
People here are very religious. If you want to change them, you have to change them through Islam.
Ghanaimi was once an Islamist militant himself, espousing the same goals as Osama bin Laden. But after what he says was a long spiritual journey, Ghanaimi has embraced moderation. He's one of a handful of public advocates for religious reform. Ghanaimi publishes on a popular website. His comments are in contrast to much on the site, including videos of the latest beheadings in Iraq.
And here's the website. This is my article.
Ghanaimi criticizes hardline Islamic views preached in mosques and schools.
Some of the people who write here knows me. There are so many attacks and a lot of death threats on my email. They were very disappointed to see that I've changed.
The Saudi government has tried to change too, eliminating passages in textbooks that vilify Christians and Jews as the enemies of Islam. It's another step towards reform, but the chaos in Iraq, vividly shown on television and websites, has set back Ghanaimi's personal campaign.
It's increased the extreme voice here. I mean, a lot of people saying that let's go and practice jihad in Iraq, because every day they see all these photos, which is, I know definitely it's not the complete truth. Every night they just go crazy watching it. A lot of people want to go and fight America there.
And some Saudi militants are eager to wage the fight against their own rulers.
Hello, marhaba, Mahmoud.
At the English language newspaper, the Arab News, the walls are lined with framed headlines and photographs of a brutal wave of attacks. Raed Kusti is the paper's managing editor.
I sincerely don't think it's over.
The attacks were a shock. For the first time since 9/11, a local franchise of Al-Qaeda had zeroed in on Saudi Arabia.
After 9/11, there has been a state of denial. We never really accepted the fact that we could produce terrorists. We have to look at the root causes. Who brainwashed them? How is it that Al-Qaeda is so active in Saudi Arabia? And we need to ask ourselves those questions.
For Kusti, the answers are clear. The economy has not kept up with the population. Unemployment is close to 30%. The young and idle are a pool of recruits. In this deeply devout country, some are swayed by the militant argument that corruption can only be ended through religiously inspired violence. At the same time, the country's ultra-conservative religious establishment, he says, is standing in the way of meaningful reforms.
People here, even in the kingdom, who want us to return to the Stone Age. These people are what we call the old guards. Unfortunately, these old guards are giving even the government a hard time.
The imam at this mosque in Jeddah is Asam El Hakim, one member of the old guard. Hakim is torn between Saudi policies and his own strong beliefs. When a government official said he must stop preaching a boycott of American products, he complied. He took a picture of himself eating a Big Mac and sent it to the complaining bureaucrat. When it comes to a holy war in Iraq, he is also torn. He says this to young Saudis who seek his advice.
Though I support fighting the invaders that invade any Muslim country, which makes them, in this case, the Americans, I do support this. Yet I tell those who come to me not to go simply because they need to have the permission of the Islamic ruler. And the Islamic ruler, who happens to be the government, the king, does not allow them to do so, and so they have to obey.
Al-Hakim agrees to meet in the lobby of a Jeddah hotel, the place he chooses to talk with a non-Muslim woman. Over cups of coffee, he agrees that Saudi Arabia needs reform. He wants a leadership that is more religious, not less. And democracy? Unacceptable. A Western idea imposed from the outside.
The liberals, their way of reforms has nothing to do with Islam. All what they're interested in is to have power in their hands, to have more and more westernized things in the kingdom. They are the front. They are the spokespersons of the West.
The religious establishment is a powerful force that can challenge change on religious grounds. One example, at a recent government-sanctioned event. A public music concert, the first ever in the kingdom, held under a tent in a children's park outside of Jeddah. As the first act ended, before the fog of a smoke machine cleared, four senior members of Saudi Arabia's religious police stormed on stage and arrested the singer to sustain boos and the fury of the audience. In Saudi Arabia's strict version of Islam, singing is a sin. But the arrest was seen as a direct challenge to the governor of the province, a liberal prince who had approved the event. An hour later, the band was back on stage, a victory, but concert organizers said it is unlikely there will be another public music concert anytime soon. Deborah Amos, NPR News.
Other stories from Deb Amos' series on Iraq's neighbors are at npr.org.